Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Pei Zayin Omid Beis. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance in the margin of our Daf where we have one of the special features of the Shas Ozer, our basis for the Gemara markings system, the Nosei, topic heading. And we have written, Machloikis Rabbi Yanai v'Rabbi Yochanan. We will see a disagreement between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Mosai Tevel Mischayev B'Meiser. At what point does produce become obligated in being tithed? Which means that from that point, which we haven't said yet, from that point onwards, one would not be able to consume the produce until the respective tithes are separated. So, number one, Berias Pnei Habayas Davka. One opinion is only when the produce is brought into one's house. Number two, Afilu Chotzer Koivas. Even a courtyard has the effect of establishing the tevel status. Tevel is the status of produce prior to its being tithed at a point that unless it's tithed, it would be prohibited to consume it. So having stated those two points of view, either entrance to the house or even a courtyard, we now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yanai, Ein HaTevel Mischayev B'Meiser. Rabbi Yanai says that Tevel does not become obligated in being tithed. And we continue now at the top of Daf Pei Ches Omid Aleph, Ad Shire Pnei Habayis, until the produce is brought into one's house. Rashi at the top says, Pnei Habayis, Shikones Derech HaPesach, the produce would be brought into the house through the door, through the entranceway, Shuhu Pnei Habayis. That term, Pnei Habayis, literally the face of the house, is to the exclusion, Velo Derech Gagais VeKarpifos, and not brought in through, we'll call it the unusual, uncommon way, through the roof or through a back enclosed area known as a karpif, but rather brought in through a, we'll call it a main or proper doorway entrance to the house. The Gemara cites the pasuk Shenemar, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. The term bias that's featured in the pasuk that deals with the laws of ridding oneself of untithed produce during the third and sixth year of the sabbatical agricultural cycle makes reference to bias, and from this Rav Yanai derives that when produce is brought in through, we'll call it the main door, as opposed to through a roof or through some type of back enclosed area, that and only that makes it obligated in being tithed. For Biochanan Omar, Afilu Chotzer Kovas, even a courtyard, even without bringing it into the house proper, produce that reaches a courtyard is then deemed to be forbidden in consumption. Based on that being koveya, that establishing its tevel status. Shenemar v'ochlu b'shorecho v'soveu. The pasuk makes reference to Bishorecha, which indicates from the time that it enters your shar, your gateway into a courtyard, even without being brought into the house proper. Now, we want to know what does each opinion do with the other one's source. Rabbi Yochanan Nami Hoksiv Min HaBayis. Rabbi Yochanan says that even a courtyard is Kaivea, establishes the prohibited status of consumption of the Tevel. What Rabbi Yochanan says, even entrance into courtyard does that. What does he do with the expression of Min HaBayis? Rabbi Yochanan, reading again, Rabbi Yochanan Nami Hoksiv Min HaBayis. Omar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan explains that the term bias doesn't refer to a house proper, but rather chotzer dumya de bias. When I speak of a chotzer being kovea, establishing the status of prohibition, it is true only if the chotzer has the characteristics of a house. Ma bias hamishtamer, just like a house is a secure, guarded area. It's enclosed by walls on four sides, making it an enclosed, secure area. Av chotzer hamishtamer. So too the chotzer that Rabbi Yochanan speaks of being kaveya, is a chotzer hamishtamer, an enclosed chotzer. Rabbi Yanai nami hoksiv b'chotzerecha. Rabbi Yanai, who says that only a house establishes the Tevel as being prohibited in consumption, does it not say Bishorecha in your enclosed areas, even courtyards? So Rabbi Yanai answers, Hahumi Boyale, he uses that expression of Bishorecha, Demayel Le Derech Shar, that when you bring it into the house, you would have to bring it into the house through a gateway, through a main entranceway, lafuki derech gagois v'karpifois delo, to the exclusion of through the roof or through some type of back enclosed area, and then into a house through that back way would not be sufficient. Rashi on the fourth line from the top, demayale derech shar dafilu abayas, even a house lo kovale ela kimayale derech shar be also. Unless you bring it into the house through the main entrance. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a house marking, on the side of the Gemara under our no say, which is the topic heading, / mivne, structural note. We've noted the house, our kushios. It's one of our series markings. It represents questions, al Rabbi Yanai v'Rabbi Yochanan, mimakoros, from sources. So we will see sources that would indicate that there's an obligation of tithing even out in the field, namely before you get to the courtyard and certainly before you get to the house. If you allow your eye to scan ahead, you'll notice, in addition to the number 1 over here, in the upper half of Omid Beis, you'll see 2 and 3 marked off likewise. Now the Gemara. Notice we have a long question here. Mosiv Rav Chanina Chozah. Rav Chanina Chozah raises a question from the pasuk in the Chumash where it says Kinafshecha Kach Nafshe Shepoel, regarding the laws of a worker being allowed to eat from that which he is working on. You see the expression Kinafshecha. Ma nafshecha oichel upoter, just like you, the owner, eat and are exempt from tithing. Af nafshe shepoel oichel upoter. So too, the worker has a special dispensation allowing him to eat without tithing, because he is compared to you, to the owner. Now we can infer ha lokeah chayev. However, if you were dealing with, let us say, someone coming to purchase produce, he would be obligated to tithe, namely that the act of a commercial transaction makes the produce chashuv, gives it a certain status of importance that is the equivalent of what we refer to in halacha as the gemar melacha, literally a final stage of production, which at that point we say the produce must be tithed. Just bear in mind that we're speaking in very general terms. There are entire tractates in Seder Zroim that, I should say entire is a slight exaggeration, but a large portion is dedicated to figuring out and defining at what point do we reach Gemar Malacha. But for our purposes, it's a final stage of produce production, at which point it is to be tithed. Otherwise, you cannot eat from it. And we say that a transaction has that same effect. And my lav basodeh, is it not so that this is taking place in the fields? So what do we see? We see that produce can become bound to be tithed even without being brought into a courtyard and into a house. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa, in defense of the shitas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yameh that we saw before, says, Hacha, in this Tanaic source, B'teina ho'imedes begina, v'noifa noita l'chotzer askinon, u'lamadomer labayas, labayas. We're talking about a fig tree that is standing in a gina. A gina is literally a garden. It's a, we'll call it a private, unenclosed area. And the branch of this gina, where the trunk is in the branch of the teina, the branch of this fig tree, which is standing in the gina, the branch is the neufe neite lechotzer. So, just to repeat, the trunk is standing in the gina, and the branch is leaning over a chotzer, an enclosed area. And if, according to Rav Yanai, the branch is growing into a house. And therefore, the produce is in fact in a chotzer or in a house. And therefore, there's an obligation of Therefore, we made the inference that if you're a purchaser of produce, but where's the produce? It's in a location of kvius. According to Rabbi Yanai, it's in the house. The produce is coming from a branch that's growing into a house. And according to Rav Yochanan, it's in a courtyard. Ihachi. If those are the circumstances, then Baal Habayas Nami Nechayev, shouldn't the owner also be obligated to tithing? Why in the source does it say that the Baal Habayis is potter, that the Baal Habayis is exempt from tithing? The Gemara says, Baal Habayis einov b'teinoso, v'lokeach einov b'mekho. An owner, the Baal Habayis, his interest, his eyes are upon the tree, not the branch. The tree, the trunk, the main part of the tree is still outside the courtyard. A purchaser is interested in that which he's purchasing. He's purchasing fruits. He's purchasing fruits that are detached. And those fruits are coming from the branch that's in the house or in the chotzer. You'll notice we have a bracketed section. Use your bracket length indicator. And that brings you down to the fifth line from the top of Omid Beis, where another house marking appears. And we explained that at that point we continue in questions on Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan, where we see kvius even without the produce being brought into the chotzer or the house. But before we get to that, we do have to deal with the text in the bracketed section. So we have a starred note in the margin which reads, "Besochas agraim haGemara dona belokuach im chayav b'hafroshos midoraisa oy midorabonan." The Gemara will deal with purchased produce. Purchased produce, does that obligate the produce to be tithed on a Torah level, or is the obligation only a rabbinic one? Achrei Asagrayim, after the brackets, Agamora Chayzeres L'Sidra Shalkushas Shal Al Rabbi Yanai Rabbi Yochanan. The more we'll return to the series of questions on Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. And we've indicated in our other margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, we indicate Pesoch Asagrayim within the brackets, Halokuach, that which is purchased. Haim Chayav Bafrosha Midoraisa O Midorabonan. Is produce that you did not raise. You didn't grow it. You didn't cultivate it. You simply bought it. And you bought it in an untithed state. We know you're obligated to tithe it. Is that obligation a Torah-level obligation or a rabbinic obligation? Now, the Gemara. Veloy keach midoraisa mimachayev. A purchaser of untithed produce, is he obligated to tithe? Now, you are probably asking, why are you making the assumption that the Torah does obligate him? In our question, we're asking, is it so that the Torah really obligates him? Apparently, we got the impression that the Torah obligated him. So the reason for that impression is, just before, in the Gemara, we used a pasuk to, we'll say, separate, isolate a worker from the realm of purchaser. In a certain manner of thinking, a hired worker is entitled by the Torah to eat from that which he is working on. This topic will be dealt with extensively later in the perek, but that creates a certain image of a commercial transaction. It's a specific kind of transaction, namely the worker, as part of his pay, is entitled to eating, but other kinds of commercial transactions, namely a simple purchase, we said before, would not obligate, I should say the opposite. The worker is exempted by the pasuk of Kenafshecha, but a purchaser is not exempted. He is obligated by the Torah. So, is that really so? The Ha'tanya, we continue in our Gemara, third line from the bottom. We have a Tanaic source that would suggest otherwise. Mipnei ma chorvu chanuyah shel beis hino, sholoy shonim kodem Yerushalayim. Why, in the era of the destruction of Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash, why is it that the chanuyah shel beis hino, literally the stores of beis hino, it's the name of a place, beis hino, why were the stores of that area destroyed 3 years before Jerusalem? Answer, Mipnei Shemidu Divrehem Al Divrei Torah. Now that's an expression that is difficult to translate literally, but, and Rashi, you can see two lines from the bottom, he uses the expression Klomar, which is a key word in the Rashi commentary that you find very often, where it suggests don't rely on the literal translation, but it rather, this phrase means to say that which the rabbis prohibit, they, in Beis Hino, they said, well, from the Torah standpoint, it is allowed. So that they treated in a very offhanded fashion laws and rulings that are rabbinically prohibited. That which, once again, that which the Chachamim prohibit, they found a heter in the Torah. Shehoyu Omrim. They used to say, we continue at the top of Peches Omid Beis. The Pasuk says, Aser Te'aser Ve'ochalta. From those, from that quote from the Torah in Dvorim Perek Yudalid, they said, Velo Hamocher Tuas Zaracha, Velo Lokeach. The Pasuk says that what needs to be tithed, that which you produce and eat, not that which you sell, nor that which you buy. What do we see from here? That purchased produce is not obligated to be tithed on a Torah level. Therefore, you see from this source that lakuach is not something that needs to be tithed on a Torah level. When we go back to the source dealing with a worker's entitlement not to tithe, in fact, it's not just a worker that is exempt from tithing, but all cases of purchased produce is exempt from tithing. That's from the Torah's standpoint. Ah, so what did the Gemara mean when it said ha lokeach chayev, that which we saw in the middle of Omid Aleph? Ela, the Gemara continues, Ela midrabanan ukro asmachta bi'alma. The obligation of tithing lokuach, purchased produce, is in fact only rabbinic. And the reference to the pasuk from which we inferred from the case of worker to the case of purchaser, that purchaser is different, that the use of the pasuk in that context was a, we call an asmachta, meaning it's not a formal source for that point, but it's a rabbinic use of the pasuk as a, we'll call it a means of remembering there the rabbinic teaching. Well, Ela kenafshecha lamayasa. Well, if that's the case, so the kenafshecha posuk, or word in the posuk, in which is a posuk in Dvarim, Perek Chav Gimel posuk Chav Hey, what am I to make of that? Lechiditanya, I need it for the following teaching. Kenafshecha. Ma nafshecha im chosamta poter, af payo im chosamta poter. Just like yourself, if you happen to, let us say, work on your produce while muzzled up, that would be okay. Rashi says, gives two possibilities. On the second line from that, im chosamta, katsats the domim shelo lecho, you established a, let's say, a pay agreement with the worker that you will not eat. In other words, even though there's a Torah expectation that a worker eats from that which he works on, if you made a some type of financial deal preventing him from eating, that's okay. Or bechoska means forcibly muzzling him up. Just like, so the posuk is telling me, kenafshecha, meaning just like you, the owner, if you were to muzzle yourself up and not eat from your produce while you're working on it, that's okay. You can do with yourself to yourself whatever you want. You can do the same thing even to your worker. If you muzzled him up, he would be potter. He would be exempt. Exempt from what? Rashi says on the third line from the potter, mi lav de lo yisachsom, from the prohibition of muzzling up animals while they are working. From here we learn that if you were to do the same thing to a worker and muzzle him up, you would not be in violation of that negative command. I should have pointed out earlier that you can find the pasuk of Kenafshecha on the upper part of Pei Zion Omid Beis in our margin, in the margin of our marked Gemaras. We continue with the questions on Rabbi Yochanan Rav Yanai, Mosiv Mar Zutra, Ezu Gorno Lemaisros. What is considered the Goren? Goren literally is a granary. For our purposes, it means a Gemar Malocha, a final stage of production, from which point you would not be able to consume, to eat untithed produce. And when we speak about the prohibition of eating, you'll see if you look in the commentaries, that you cannot even an achilas aroi. You see in Rashi on the second narrow line, it's a gemar malacha to prohibit even an eating that's aroi. Aroi means something like we would call snacking on something, a minor type of consumption as opposed to a formal meal, which we call an achilas keva. So what is the goren regarding maisros, regarding tithing? So bekishuim, when it comes to that kind of vegetation called kishuim, ubediluim, another kind of vegetation, mishe yefaksu, from the point of pikus, v'omar v'asi, mishe yinotel pikas shalahem, when the pikas, this is a part of the the kishuim or diluin vegetation. It's a type of flower or blossom that's attached to the fruit, to the vegetation, and after a while that falls off while when the vegetation is detached. So we mentioned earlier that the concept of a gemar malacha regarding tithing, at which point the tithing becomes obligatory, depends on the vegetation, the crop, and we mentioned that it's a topic dealt with broadly in Seder Zroyim. So here you have a little taste of it with regard to Kishuim and Dilum have their Goren Lamaisers, their point in time at which they become obligated in tithing. And that is the removal of the pikas, the blossom, from the vegetable. My love, mishif kisu afilu basodeh. Is it not so that the obligation sets in upon the removal of the blossom, even if it's in the fields? And that is against Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. You don't see any reference here to being brought into a house or a courtyard. Lo. So the Gemara rejects the question, says not so, but rather mishifaksu bebayis, when the blossom removal takes place in a house. Well then, grammatically, we ask, ihochi, mishe yifaksu, instead of saying from the point of blossom removal, ad shiyifaksu miboyale, it should have said that there is no obligation to tithe until you get into the house. Since the point of this source, according to what we're saying now, is to teach me that even in the house, it wouldn't be obligated in being tithed until the blossom is removed, then the more accurate grammatical presentation would have been, ad shiyafaksu. The current term of mi she yifaksu still leaves us with the feeling that at the point that the blossom is removed, wherever that is, even out in the fields, the obligation of tithing sets in. The Gemara responds, in fact, the blossom removal does not obligate until it's in the house. And if you're asking, why doesn't it then say ad shiyafaksu? Itana ad shiyafaksu, had that expression appeared, hava mina, I would have thought, ad degoma lepikusayu, until you complete the removal. Kamash malan mishiyafaksu. Hence the term that appears in the source, mishiyafaksu, which tells me mechi aschuli pikusayu, from the point at which you start the blossom removal. But just to repeat the main point, even if it's that will obligate the beginning of the blossom removal, it will obligate only if the produce is in a house, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, in a courtyard. Mosiv Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman. Gorno Lemaiser L'chayev Olov Mishum Tevel. when we speak about something reaching its goren stage, to be obligated or to create guilt upon one who eats it, mishum tevel, for having consumed tevel, untithed produce, which, by the way, carries with it a very serious offense, misa bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. So the goren for meiser, to mechayev, is mishetigmar malachton, when the production process is completed. The ezu gemar malachton, and when is that? Meleches hachnososon. The activity of hachnososon. Now, this word we can't translate yet. My lav hachnososon afilu basoda. The word hachnososon now we'll translate is a reference to being gathered. So that gathering of the produce obligates it. Where? Well, even in the field. So that the word hachnosa means it's being piled up and gathered together in a pile in a field. So we see that the chiyuv tevel sets in, chiyuv tevel, the prohibition of eating untied produce sets in even while it's in the fields. Lo, hachnososon lebayis zehu gemar malachton. It doesn't, hachnososon doesn't merely mean gathered, but it means brought in. If you recall a few moments ago, we hesitated in offering a translation to the word hachnosa, because we wanted to leave open these two possibilities. At the question stage, we thought hachnosa means gathering together in a pile. And now we're saying it doesn't mean that, but rather it means being brought into, in this case, into a house. Another approach to the entire issue of Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan versus these sources is that Rabbi Yannai was speaking under specific circumstances. When did Rabbi Yannai say that a house that is koveya, that only up, only when brought into the house do we have the kavius of the shem tevel, of the tevel status prohibiting eating? Bezesim v'anovim, with regard to olives and grapes. Delav b'nei goren ninhu. Olives and grapes, and Rashi adds of critical importance, ha'oimdim l'achila. That means that you're going to eat them as fruits, as opposed to the usual processing of them into their liquid form, olive oil or wine. When it comes to olives and grapes that are what we call oindim lachila, their kavius is not in the fields. The lav b'nei goren ninu, they are not something that are gathered up in pile form, like you would say in the case of grains in a granary. Avol chitim esorin. But when it comes to wheat and barley, standard grains, goren behedyok siv bay. There, the term goren appears in an explicit fashion. The idea of goren, the idea of something being merely piled up, you find already in the Torah. In other words, without being brought into a house. But when it comes to items that don't have that characteristic in their production stage of being piled up for storage, then the house becomes the central point of kvius for tevel, prior to which we would not prohibit the achilas aroi. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. Up till now, we have established through a psukim that a worker, a person, is entitled to eat from that which he is working on, specifically that which is attached to the ground, and an animal is entitled by the Torah to eat through the prohibition of muzzling it. Lo sasam shor b'disho, when he is threshing grains, grains when being threshed are obviously detached. That's called tolush. Before we go further in the Gemara, we want to glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the nosei, together with the mivneh, the structural note. In our Gemara, there's the use of an aleph and a beis that you will notice circled. They are shtei she'elos, two questions. Aleph, one first question, Adam betolush, and beis, the second question, shor b'mechubar. Adam betolush means a person being, as a worker, being entitled to eat from detached produce that he is working on. And a shor, beis, a shor b'mechubar, an ox that is working on produce that is still attached. Menolon de'oichlin toch k'dei p'losa. From where do we know that the Torah has obligation or an allocation for them, a provision, right? A provision for them to eat. The triangles that you'll see in the Gemara, and we have a lot of them, as you can see, till you get to the bottom of this Amid. One type of triangle is Nisyonis Lufshot Sheil Aleph, attempts to answer question Aleph, and the triangle with the blackened tip, Nisyonis Lufshot Sheil Beis, attempts to answer the Beis, the second question. Now the Gemara, Ashkechan Adam B'Mechubar V'Shor B'Tolosh. We have found sources till now concerning the entitlement of a person, a worker, to eat from that which is attached, and a provision for animals to eat from that which is tolosh, detached. Adam betolosh min olon. You notice the dash underlining. If you allow your eyes to skim down, try to find where you see the next similar type dash underlining. Well, you see it there at the first and second wide lines. What is emphasized there? Shor b'mechubar min olon, which was our second question. So that is what we will deal with. There. Now the Gemara. Adam betolish min olon, from where do we know that a worker is entitled to eat from that which is detached? Kal v'chomer mishor. We use kal v'chomer logic from the case of the animal, the ox. Uma shor she'eino oichel b'mechubar oichel b'tolush. Mind you, an animal that doesn't eat from that which is attached from a specific Torah pasuk. It's not, as Rashi calls it, a kro behedya. And yet, the animal does eat from tolush, from detached produce. Adam she'eichel b'mechubar, a person who's entitled to eat by virtue of a pasuk, eino din she'eichel b'tolush, all the more so, he should be entitled to eat from tolush. The Gemara says, no, you can't make kal v'chomer logic from the ox. Ma l'shor she'kein ata mitzuva al chasimosoi. Toimar v'adam she'ata mitzuva al chasimosoi. We find an area of stringency by animals, which maybe is the source for entitling them to eat. And what's that? The mitzvah, the halacha, the prohibition of muzzling up animals, which you don't find a prohibition with regard to muzzling up a person. Now we have a bracketed section which is designed for an initial skipping. And if we do that, we see that the pircha, the question we just raised on the kal v'chomer, was successful. If that's the case, the question dealt with remains. V'yela adam betolish min olam. Notice that right after the bracketed section, we still need to find out the entitlement. From where do we derive the entitlement of a person to eat from that which is detached? As we mentioned earlier, that a person's entitled from something attached, that's established by the pasuk, by the verse. But what about an Adam Betolush? And you'll then see answer number 2, where the next triangle appears. In the meantime, we have the bracketed session that we skipped. Let's go back over that. The last point mentioned in the Gemara was the contrast between animal, where there is a prohibition of muzzling it, person, no such prohibition. We ask in the brackets, V'yehei Adam mitzuva al chasimasa mikal v'chomer mishar. Let us suggest that regarding a person, there would be a prohibition of muzzling him through kal v'chomer logic from the case of shor. Uma shor shiato mitzuva l'achiyosato mitzuva l'chal chasimoso. Mind you, a cow, that you're not obligated to support it. If you have an unfed cow in your community, you have no obligation of l'achiyoso, of maintaining it, of supporting it, and yet you're obligated not to muzzle it up when you're working with it. Adam shata mitzuva l'achiyoso, a person that has met with hard times, you are obligated to l'achiyoso, to enliven him, to support him, to tend to his welfare. You know, din shata mitzvah chismoso, then all the more so, there should be a prohibition of muzzling up a person. Omar Kro, the pasuk says to the contrary, otherwise, namely, not so. Kenafshicha, once again, we're quoting from Devarim Perachav Gimel Posachav Hey. We've written it once again on the side in the margin of our Gemara. What do we learn from Kenafshicha? Kenafsho Shilpoyel. Ma Nafsho Im Chasamta Potter. Af Poyel Im Chasamta Potter. The worker is treated like the boss. Just like oneself. If one muzzled up oneself, he's not in violation of anything. So too, if one muzzled up a worker, he would not be in violation of lo yisachsoim. Well, v'ela adam betolish menolan. If I can't make the kal v'chomer from shor, as we suggested before, because shor has an added element that you don't find by adam, namely the iser of lo yisachsoim, so where am I going to derive adam betolish? Adam, man, eating from that which is detached, that he's working on. Omar kro, koma, koma, shnei pomim. The word koma appears twice. Rashi quotes the source. It's from Dvarim, Perachov Gimel, Pasuk, Chavov. We've included the Pasuk on the side of our Gemara as well. Let's read it. Ki sovo bekomas reacha, vekataftim lilos biodecha, vechermesh lo sonif al komas reacha. You see the word koma appears twice. And now we turn back to the Gemara. Koma literally means standing produce, standing, growing from the ground, that's standing and attached to the ground. If I don't need koma to teach me entitlement of man eating from that which is attached, so I can use the extra word koma to refer even to a non-koma situation, namely, it's tolish, it's detached. Rabbi Ami Omar, Odom betolush, lo tzorech kra. As far as a man being entitled to eat from that which is detached, you don't need a special posuk for that. Siv, the posuk says, ki sovo bekerem reacha, when a person enters someone's vineyard, milo askinen shesochu lekatef, all the pasuk that deals with worker entitlement says worker comes into vineyard. What was he hired to do? Maybe he's hired lekatef, just as it means a person that serves as a transporter. Literally, the katef is a shoulder. But let's look at Rashi, toward the end, 7 lines from the bottom, lekatef, lo seison of him, to carry the grapes, v'chaverov boitzrin, his co-workers are picking the grapes, and this man is transporting the grapes. Tahave melachto betolish, his role is to work with the grapes when they are tolish, detached, and they're detached from the vines, placed in boxes that he's carrying on his shoulders. So the pasuk that speaks in general terms of a worker entitled to eat from that which he's working on, is it not including the person hired likatef? And v'yomer rachmona lechol, and the pasuk says right then and there, dvarim perachov gimel pasukov hey, that he, the worker, is entitled to eat. So we have even someone working on detached produce is entitled to eat. Shor b'mechuba minolan. What about the entitlement of an ox to eat from that which is attached? You can have an ox doing activities involving cultivating fields where there is growing produce. The shor, while working in that capacity, is entitled to eat. You cannot muzzle it up. Where do I know that from? Kal v'chomer me'adam. Uma adam she'eino oichel betalush oichel b'mechubar. A person, we don't find an explicit pasuk entitled a person to eat from talush. We have found a source for adam betalush, but not an explicit verse that says thusly. So mind you, a person where we don't have an explicit verse entitling him to tolish yet, oichel b'mechubar, we have an explicit verse entitling him to eat from that which is attached. Shor sha'oichel b'tolish enu din she'oichel b'mechubar, an ox which is entitled to eat from tolish by virtue of a specific explicit verse, namely lo sachsam shor b'tishay, certainly it will be entitled to eat from mechubar. But we now challenge the Kal v'chomer. Ma li yodam shekein ata mitzuvah l'achyosei. Toyma b'shor shi'ata mitzuvah l'achyosei. When it comes to a person, I can understand that he is entitled to eat. We can certainly entitled to eat from mechubar. That's because a person is that entity that others are obligated to maintain, to support, making sure that he doesn't fall on hard times. Should I say the same thing by a shor, where we're not? Shi'ato mitzuvah l'achyoso, as we indicated before, the community is not obligated to support or maintain oxen. So, with that in mind, we cannot make the Kal v'chomer from Adam to shor, entitling the shor to eat b'mechubar. And again, similar to what we had before, we have brackets that if you skip them momentarily, there's the continuation of the issue of Elashor b'mechubar minolan appears. You can see that three lines from the bottom. We haven't proven Shor b'mechubar yet. On the side, we have a starred note describing the brackets. Sograim elu doimim letifkudam kamo elu defnei kain. The brackets here are similar to their role or their purpose as the brackets before. Betocha sograim dekan, within these brackets, hu Allah hatsa she olenu mitzvah lahachios shor penithe. The suggestion will be presented that maybe we are obligated to support animals, needy animals, and that attempt will be, as I say, presented in this source, in this in the bracketed section, but it will be also rejected. Now that the structure is hopefully clear, we go back to the Gemara. After having just said that a shor, one is not obligated lachioso, we suggest to the contrary, v'hei shor, mitzuva lachioso mikal v'chomer. Let us suggest that an animal is that which we are obligated to support through kal v'chomer logic. Uma odom shi'ata mitzuva al chasimo so'ata mitzuva lachioso, mind you, a person. We are not prohibited from muzzling him up. You are nevertheless obligated to support him. Shor shata mitzuva achasimoso, ensure that one is prohibited by the Torah from muzzling it. Eino din shata mitzuva achioso. Certainly, you should be obligated to support it. The shor. Omar kro The pasuk that speaks about maintaining a person, supporting a person, says ochicha v'lo shor, a fellow man, not an ox. And as we said before, the attempt to make a kavachomer from odom to shor cannot be made. The odom is not necessarily more kal than the shor. And from the shore, therefore, the shore being entitled to eat from that which it is working on while the produce is still attached. From where do I know that? Omar Kro, Reacha Shnei Pomim. In Bamidbar, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Vav, we can glance in our margin. Do you notice where we've written in that Pasuk Dvarim Chof Gimel Chof Vav? It says there, Kisovo Bekomas Reacha, Vekotafta Melilos Biodecha, Vechermesh Lo Sonif Al Komas Reacha. So the Pasuk uses the word Reacha twice. Reacha meaning fellow man. And now the Gemara. Omar Kro Reacha, Reacha Shnei Pomim. It says that twice. Im Eino Inin La'odah B'mechubor, if it's not relevant to the entitlement of a person eating from that which is attached, Teneu inyan lushor b'muchubur. Allow that extra word to shed light on the case of an animal entitlement to eat from that which is attached. Ravina Omar. Lo adam betalush velo shor b'muchubur tzrichi kroy. Ravina, in surveying this Gemara, says that, as opposed to what we thought we were doing before, in other words, looking for a posuk for adam betalush, this is a reference to the dashed underlining that you saw above. He, Ravina, says, as far as odom betolush, a entitlement of a person to eat from that which is detached, velo shor b'mechubar, nor the case of the ox eating from that which is still attached, srichi kroy, they don't need psukim. We don't need psukim, Torah verses, for those points specifically. Dichtiv, the posuk says, lo sachsom shor b'dishu, do not muzzle up an ox while it is threshing. We continue at the top of the pay test. Michti, kol mili isnehu b'chasima. Dialfinon shor mishabas. Kol mili means all creatures. The pasuk referred to just before, lo sachsom shor b'disho, a specific reference to a shor appears. Is shor, could you even think that it's limited to shor? No. Why not? Because the word shor appears in the Torah with regard to Shabbos as well. This is a point we've discussed on earlier occasions. And as a result of shor appearing not only in the Isser of Chasima, but also regarding Shabbos, and in the case of Shabbos, we know that it's not limited to just a shor, but all animals are under the prohibition of working with them on Shabbos. And just like Shabbos is inclusive, we know, therefore, that Chasima, where the word Shor appears, is also inclusive of all creatures. Im kein loma, im kein lichtei brachmona, lo sadush b'chasima. Would it not have been enough for the Torah to simply write, do not thresh while muzzled? I'm not limited to an ox. Shor de kosav rachmono lomali, what do we gain by specifying ox? La kushe chesem lenechsam venechsam lechesem. What we gain by having shor in the posuk, it said, lo sachsam shor b'disho, you shall not muzzle up an animal, an ox, while threshing with it. The point of that is to enable us to compare the rules of muzzling up the animal to the rules concerning a worker. The chosem is the person, and the nechsam is, we'll say, the animal, and vice versa, as follows. let me read that again. Ma'akushe, to compare. Choisem lenechsam, venechsam lechoisem. Choisem is a reference to a person, specifically a worker who's working on produce. Nechsam, the animal. And to compare the animal to the person. Ma choisem oichel b'muchubar, just like a person is entitled to eat from that which is attached. Af nechsam oichel b'muchubar, so to the ox, the animal is entitled to eat from that which is attached. Be careful here. We're using the term choisem and nechsam as a replacement word for person, i.e. worker, and nechsam, animal. We're not dealing with entities that are actually muzzled up. So, to repeat, just like the choisem, just like a person, the worker, eats from that which is attached, so too the animal eats from that which is attached. Uma nechsam ochel betolosh, and just like the animal eats from that which is detached, as the pasuk says, "Vosachsam shor b'tishal," af choisem ochel betolosh. So to a person, a worker is entitled to eat from that which is detached. So from Ravino's standpoint, we don't have to seek out special psukim to prove Odom betolosh and shor b'mechubar. That's all derived from the presence of the word shor in the pasuk of Lo sachsam shor b'tishal. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.